We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour. Welcome to Light Years. Across from me, I got special guest Tommy. I know you guys have heard him over the years, the infamous Tommy Gunn. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Good to be back. Thank you for having me, and it's nice to come on after a Warriors win.
Yeah, so Warriors win 125-90 against the Milwaukee Bucks, and I was saying right before we started, just like a palate cleanser, I didn't even get mad after the game Sunday against Boston, just because it was like so clear how that game was going to go after, I don't know, 8 minutes in or so. Was that about the point where I was just like, yeah, this is going to be a 40-point blowout or something ridiculous like that? So I wrote it off. I'm a new mature man. You know, a younger me would have got on Spotify Live and ranted and raved for 2 hours about how upset I was, but I'm a new mature man.
Shout out locker room.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, Milwaukee, they got Giannis out there. I don't think Giannis looked 100% healthy or anything, but he's still Giannis. He's still one of the best players in the league. They had Dame. And to not just beat them, but beat them handily. Like, the third quarter got a little dicey there for a minute. Milwaukee turned it up. But other than that, I would say this was a very comfortable Warriors win start to finish.
It's about as comfortable as it's been this year, besides that little stretch out in the third that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before we came on, I was hoping to just split these two between Boston and Milwaukee. I didn't care how it played out. Said just get one of them, and now you got some easier games coming up on the schedule. But that was a very impressive Warriors win, and I thought, the chat's been saying it. You know, I thought TJD kind of flipped the game in the third there, where it started to get a little bit shaky, and it felt like another one of those times where it's like, all right, we got these tiny lineups on the floor. The other team's just parading to the rim. You get Trace in the game. He blocks a couple Giannis shots and then comes over from the weak side, blocks another Giannis shot. And I thought it opened up the game for everybody. And that's really where it ended. That little stretch right there to end the third.
That was what I was about to go to, because that was the stretch of the game there. Milwaukee kind of sleepwalked the first half. They didn't play any defense in the first half. Warriors got a comfortable lead on them. Third quarter, they did what contenders do, where they're like, all right, we're going to turn it up and see what, you know, force turnovers out of you, use our size against you. And it worked for an extended period of time until Steve Kerr put Trayce Jackson-Davis in. I feel like he overall this year has not played him enough given the deficiencies of the rosters, but that's a different conversation.
Yep.
And he turned the game. Like, the blocks on Giannis are obviously the highlight plays, but I think he opened up the offense just as much. They got into one of their classic, like, all right, we're just going to chuck because we can't generate anything at the rim. And, you know, if Steph's going to hit bullshit shots, that's great. And if he's not, we have nothing going. It'll be turnovers, that sort of thing. And those are the moments where Trayce is felt the most, because everyone's going to always overplay the Warriors shooting. And just having someone who could finish a play, who could put pressure on the rim in any capacity. They've been getting a lot from Kuminga, but like a true five. Yep. Is he even a true five? I mean, he's a five positionally, but he's still like only 6'9".
Yeah. He plays like a five, and he's a super quick leaper. I think that's something that probably isn't talked about enough with him. That's why he's able to block shots. That's why he's able to get up over the top of the rim and still dunk on guys bigger than him, because he is a very quick leaper. But it's just, I mean, he's a very solid player, especially for a rookie. But it's really just he brings something, like you said, that they don't have at all. So it's just, it's such a change of pace for them. And it makes it so, the way the roster is built, it puts such an onus on their perimeter defense being perfect at all times. And that's just not realistic over 48 minutes, especially over an 82-game season. So you need those stretches where you just kind of have a backbone of your defense, where if you're missing rotations, you're a step slow on stuff, there's just a guy at the rim who's a presence at the very least, so people think twice about going in there. And if they do, we can actually block a shot. And, you know, it's just nice to be able to almost, it feels like they can breathe a little bit easier defensively when he's in there, and offensively too, because like you said, he puts pressure on the rim through his rim running. And he got a bunch of easy buckets like that tonight. But yeah, I just thought, I mean, he can absolutely play more. He played what, 18 minutes tonight? I think that's about perfect moving forward, somewhere in that 15 to 20 minute range, especially if he's going well. Looney's always going to get his one first half stint, I think, because I think the organization cares about his played game streak at this point. So I think he's always going to get a little stretch in the first half. But unless Looney has a really good first half, I would just almost always toggle to all Trace in the second half.
I still also think there's going to be a role for Looney in the playoffs and specific matchups too. So, yep. But yeah, no, it does feel like Trace is just making a case to play more and more in this rotation. Like that's kind of my big takeaway from this game in general. We've more often than not, when he plays, positive things happen in general. And it's, I don't know. They're still small with him in there, but they inch closer to being like normal size lineup with him, right? Sure. Like you have him out there, he's 6'9", but he's a center by trade. He's also pretty thick, honestly. Yeah. Like he's got to be 250. So he's built kind of like a football player, right?
Yeah.
You put him out there, Draymond, all of a sudden, you know, stop chat. Draymond can play power forward a little bit. Then you get Wiggins, Kuminga on the wings. You know, now you're closer to normal size. You're not as big as the Bucks, but you're not just bleeding 4 or 5 inches at every position. So
yeah, I mean, it's still too much Clay at the four for my liking. But if you add an actual rim protector behind it, it's going to look a little bit better. And I thought we got to see a little bit of Dre and Trace together. That's a combo I'd like to see a little bit more. And I know there's concerns over spacing and how it would look offensively. But I think Trace is a good enough runner, smart enough passer to where it can work. But just letting Dre roam a little bit more, you know, because when he's playing the five, he's doing so much rim protection stuff and there's so much onus on him. If you can get a guy who can really protect the rim, like a Bogut used to, like a JaVale used to even, it just lets Dre freelance a little bit more and then he can really create havoc. And then that's further transition game on offense, which has always been such a big part of every great Warriors team, has always been really good in transition on offense. But you need to be able to get stops and create turnovers to do that. And that's been an issue really the last two seasons, but I think as they figured things out over the last month, you're starting to see a little bit of that come back, and that's helped spur what 14-4 in the last 18 games. I think that's right, isn't it 14-4 now over the last 18?
That sounds right. I thought it was 13-4, but
yeah,
either way,
it's in that ballpark.
I mean things are going well. I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Milwaukee at this stage? I don't want to overreact to them tonight, because classic on the road, they've won six in a row. Giannis looked banged up. It happens. It's a long season, but like in general, I don't know.
I wasn't a believer before the season started. I haven't really changed my tune. Yes, they played better basketball of late. They seem more bought in. I don't know what happened with the Adrian Griffin situation, but it was obviously toxic enough to where he got fired, 45 games into his first season.
With the best record in the league.
Right. Exactly. Outside of Boston, I think they had the best record in the league. So I was never a believer to begin with. And some of that to me comes back to, they're still kind of deficient at the wings. Like I know they were missing Middleton tonight. They're missing Middleton, which like, that's a big deal. You know, you can't act like that doesn't matter. But they're still just kind of deficient there. And it's like, are you really counting on Malik Beasley to play 25 minutes in the playoffs? Are you counting on Patrick Beverley? I mean, I know you have an affinity for Bobby Portis, but like there's matchups that he's going to get played.
Bobby's their best player tonight.
He was very good tonight. I'll give him that. But there's matchups where he's just going to get played out of the game. You know, like that, it's just going to happen if a team decides to really space and make him uncomfortable defensively. So I was never really a believer to begin with. And they just, to me, especially in that first half, they look so slow defensively. And I think that's a real issue for them. And that's why they were looking at a guy like Wiggins at the trade deadline, you know, because it's like, you got to figure out something on the wing because they don't have anything right now. They're just a very slow plotting team.
That's my issue with them in general. Like, that's the one thing I think Doc has done well with them. He's like, we're going to play slower because we don't have a team who should be in transition all game. And to the Warriors' credit, they're like, we're going to make you run all day. Yep. I mean, Brooke Lopez is 35, just like Steph is. Only Brooke was always slow and kind of plodding in some ways. He's still a very good player, but like you can expose him in space. Dame can't guard anyone. And then, you know, you can go down the line. Their wings are, it's the wing equivalent of the Warriors' big man rotation. It's all veteran minimums who, you know, all right, he can shoot, but he can't move. Okay, he can move, but he can't shoot. Like, you're trading one problem for another, depending on who you throw out there. So I think they're going to, like, when we get to the playoffs, they're going to have to play a 6 or 7 man rotation, and they're going to have to kind of walk the ball up the court and try to out-execute you the whole way. And it might work because Dame, Middleton, Giannis, Brooke, like, might be the best top four of any team in the league, just, like, on raw talent. Like, that's it's a very good starting point for a team, but like, it's who's that fifth player? What happens if any of those guys are hurt or banged up? That team has very little margin for error, even though it has high talent at the top.
Yeah, I don't see how they can really even get to 8 or 9 reliable guys. You know, like I said, you're just counting on guys who are, number one, either too old, too slow, just kind of washed up, or just not ready or not good enough. Like, I don't think they really have any good options. I don't even know who they would close with. I guess you go with Beasley as your fifth closer and hope he's good. You know, I like Beasley, but I just don't know if he's really a playoff guy per se. Like, the Lakers couldn't find minutes for him last year in the playoffs, and they were a conference finals team at best.
He's like frenetic. Like, I've seen a lot of good Malik Beasley games. Like, when he was on Minnesota, he had a few against the Warriors where I was like, oh, this guy's like really a dude. He kind of reminds me of KCP or something like that. But then you watch him more and you're like, yeah, there's a reason you're constantly on a veteran minimum and being bounced around teams, because it's like, you catch him on the right night, sure, but most nights it's turnovers, it's 2 for 10 from the field, over 6 from 3.
It's a lot of J.R. Smith vibes, and that might be almost offensive to J.R. Smith, right? Because J.R.'s a champion. Say what you want about J.R., but the guy's a champion.
JR could get as hot as anyone.
Yeah, and so can Malik, to be fair. Malik can really shoot it, but it's kind of everything else where you have question marks. You know, decision-making in a playoff game, defense in a playoff game. Go down the list. It's all going to be a problem at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I'm double-checking that, by the way. We should get back to the Warriors a little bit, because 14-4 in the last 18. They're playing... Look, we can look at it from either lens. Okay, they're small. Okay, they have some deficiencies. There's going to be some matchup issues. But on the other hand, they're just outrunning everyone, and teams are having a hard time keeping up with them in general. I don't know, man. I think they can get out of the play-in. When I'm looking at this right now, like, I'm pulling up the standings. They do have a favorable schedule.
Yep.
After tonight's game, which the standings I'm sharing don't reflect, but they are only 2 games out of the play-in right now with the most favorable schedule. Like, I feel like those Dallas games are going to be the ones that are the most important, but they have every opportunity to be the 5 or 6 seed.
100%.
When we get out of here, and like, you know, considering where they were 2 months ago, I'll take that right now and see what happens to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have 3 against Dallas, 2 against the Lakers, and I want to say 1 against the Pels still. I don't think they're catching the Pels. I think the Pels are going to play too good down the stretch. They're a really good team, in my opinion. The Pelicans are. The Suns are still going to tumble. I was actually, like I said earlier, I was hoping for a Kings loss tonight, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. In my opinion, they kind of control their destiny here. Like, you have enough matchups against the teams that matter. You're not going to have a tiebreaker against the Suns or the Kings, which
sucks.
A little bit. Yeah, it really does. and you know, you probably should have had the Kings tiebreaker. You know, you blew 2 of those games. You could have taken all 4 and probably should have taken at least 3. So you're going to have a win up on both of those teams. But it really just comes down to taking care of business and, you know, against really the teams that aren't good, right? You got to win every matchup against the Bulls, the Spurs. They have some of those left. And then you got to take at least two of those Dallas games. You probably got to take both Lakers games, or at the very worst split, because they're going to have to get to, I guess, at least 48 wins to be the 16th.
That's been the number I've been operating with. Honestly, yeah, it might be higher than that, but I can't see it being like maybe 47.
I don't think it'll be. I'd be shocked if you needed 50 to get to six, but, and I would also be shocked if it was lower than 47. It's going to be right in that range.
48 would mean that the Phoenix Suns, who are currently the sixth seed, have to go 12-8 the rest of the way, which is not exactly like blowing the doors. They have a very tough schedule, but it's basically like take care of business and maybe win one game you shouldn't win, and you're probably good.
Right. And that's a win percentage of 60, basically. So that's on par with what they've done for the season. So you're going to have to outpace both of them, obviously, at this point. Mm-hmm. But Kings and Suns do have a tough schedule. Warriors is a little bit easier. It is pretty road heavy. That's the one thing I'll say. They go four games on the road. They come home and play Dallas in the makeup game, and they have three more on the road. It's something like that. So it is a little bit row heavy. There's a lot of travel, but most of the games in general, the matchups aren't that difficult, all things considered.
Yeah. I mean, they have every opportunity to get themselves out of the play-in, which is all we can ask for right now. Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything. And the Curry 11s are specifically designed with the ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. The NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s, future Curries, are now available at currybrand.com. No one likes buying tickets last minute. Pretty annoying. You shouldn't have to worry about when you buy tickets to your next event. What are some things you like about, you know, just like getting tickets? So you get the Game Time app. It's quick. It's simple. It's verified. It's easy. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy it, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets too. So come on, guys. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the promo code LIGHTYEARS to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem with the code LIGHTYEARS, LIGHTYEARS. I know you guys needed me to spell LIGHTYEARS out because you didn't know how to, for $20 off on your first order. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, let's get to it. I'm in a good mood. We'll get number one doomer up here, Gio. We'll let him lead off. He's been hitting lead off all season. We've been starting every show with an out, but you know what? That's just how it goes. We got to respect.
What's up,
Gio?
Guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, Gio?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. What's up?
You're good, man.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, good win. I mean, honestly, I enjoyed this win. I mean, because last week I was kind of like depressed because, you know, 50 point loss, it kind of sucked. But yeah, it's a good win. Like I enjoy the. I think Trey should just play like 25 minutes. Like, I mean, because like I don't think we need that many like Looney minutes. Like, I think Looney's cooked. Like, it's kind of sad like to watch. I think he's done. Like, I mean, it is what it is. That's my thing, honestly. That's it.
Somehow you spun positivity into negativity. I love you, Gio. Have a great evening.
I don't know. Yes.
Oh, before we move on, I forgot what I wanted to actually bring up, the other topic we had tonight. Tonight was Bob Myers' first trip back to the Bay, doing a Warriors game. Got the nice tribute video. Shout out, Warriors. Just...
Tears were a lock.
When you saw his daughters reading it and you saw Bob's face, you're like, oh, here come the waterworks. This emotional man. But I'd be lying if I said, you know, watching that stuff, I don't get like the nostalgia, just start lying to myself, seeing 2015, whatever it may be. It's kind of, what have you thought of like Bob on ESPN this year? And just kind of, it's been weird because I didn't think he would be the first person from the core characters who created this team to walk away, but now he has, and now he's, you know, on ESPN just being a pundit.
You know, I think he's actually been pretty solid at the job, all things considered. Like, it's not easy to go from what he was doing. And Bob has, you know, he's obviously a very personable guy, very charismatic. Mm-hmm. So I'm not shocked that he's good at TV. But at the same time, a lot of times I'm just like, I don't really want to hear your takes on the Warriors right now, man. Like, when you start talking about the roster and stuff, it's like, hey, man, like,
yeah,
you're the guy who did this.
Anytime draft take, I'm just like, I'm going to the kitchen to get something. I can't hear this.
Right, right. Exactly. So it's just, look, obviously it was a huge part of architecting the dynasty. We could get really into it if we want to talk about Larry Riley, Jerry West, Travis Slank, and who was really pulling the strings back then in terms of personnel and roster decisions. Mm-hmm. Who knows, right? You know, nobody really knows who was making a lot of those decisions, but, you know, he is a franchise legend. That goes without being said. Four-chip GM. So it was, you know, it was nice to see him get a little moment, and I'm sure it obviously meant a ton to him. And he deserves to be honored in that way, because at the very least, even if he wasn't essential to a lot of the personnel decisions going on, he was still very essential to a lot of the ego management. And that stuff is not easy, you know, and that's why he was an agent for a while and then was able to be a good GM in that sense, because, you know, he's very good at managing egos. And all the core guys think the world of him. Even KD, who left, thinks the world of him. And you could see how much it meant to Steph and Dre for him to get honored. They were up applauding. So, you know,
that is really the ultimate compliment, because, like, when you don't like working with someone, and you no longer do, you don't have to do that sort of stuff. And the Warrior guys, they clearly, like, adore working with him. They valued everything he did. I think Bob probably gets too much credit for roster building and probably not enough credit for his job to manage and keep the whole thing together as long as he did. We saw his drafting when they got high picks. Could have been better. But like, you know, there's not a lot of GMs who can manage just the variety of egos. Draymond's obviously the popular name for everyone to say, but it's like, Andre Iguodala was told to come off the bench. You don't think that there was some ego management going into that? Kevin Durant dealing with the fact that, you know, he was kind of ostracized and, you know, painted as a villain the entire time he was here. Clay never really complaining. Like, he kind of held the whole thing together. So, you know, he deserves his for that.
And, you know, this feels a little bit more circumstantial with Clay and kind of just the events that have been happening. But the first year Bob's gone, we hear a little bit more about Clay in the media, about how he's unhappy, how he's uneasy. And a lot of that's contract stuff and, you know, him dealing with the fact that he's on the kind of the downside of the hill in terms of his playing days. But
Dealing with his mortality and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, that stuff, you never heard about that when Bob was running the show. So, and I don't know if there's any correlation there, but there could be. And that's what Bob was fantastic at. So you got to give credit to him there.
Yeah. It was, if nothing else, it's kind of fun to see it. Also, the jab Steve Kerr took at him at the beginning of the fourth quarter was hilarious. Just, Oh, wait, no, it wasn't Bob's draft pick. It was Mike's draft pick. I enjoyed that one in general. So.
Deserved. Yeah, Mike's first draft was not as good as any Bob draft, but it's up there already.
Well, it's the best Warriors draft in a decade, which, you know, so you have to go back to the 2012 draft for them to get two players who contributed immediately the way that that Pods and Trace are. Anyway.
Yep.
Keep moving. Got some more callers here. We'll get Tashion up here.
What's going on?
What's up, man? How are you?
Just chilling. So I noticed that Wiggins is playing a little bit more minutes now, just 13 minutes to ease his way back into the starting lineup with the good graces for his pay time off again. So, you know, so the question that I have for you guys is, how many games is a good enough sample size for us to take the Moody experiment a little bit more seriously, like 15 more games and against like good teams, of course, because we don't want to get too hasty now, like some of the other goons in the group chat, but you know.
I would say 10 to 15 more games is a reasonable ask. At what point did we take the JK leap from being like, oh, he's playing well, to, oh, this might actually be like a consistent leap? I'd say it was a full month plus of like him putting in 20 literally every game and just being a force. So I would say if we get to the end of March and Moody's still performing like consistently like this, and he isn't being yo-yoed in and out of the rotation, and every time he's in there, just, you know what it looks like. Every time he's in there, positive things are happening. He's getting loose balls. He's hitting shots. He's making general positive impacts. That would be when I would say it's for real. There's no turning around. Steve's not going to bury him and do that anymore. He's officially arrived as a rotation piece.
That sounds about right. I think by the end of March, if he's still performing at this level, you know, he will be a rotation mainstay, and they will need him in the playoffs. I think regardless, they're going to need him in the playoffs, right? They needed him last year, even when he wasn't a rotation mainstay. But I think the biggest thing with Moses right now is even when he's not making shots, he's still impacting the game positively. Like, he didn't shoot it well tonight. He didn't really score that much. But, I mean, he was absolutely hounding Dame to end the third and to start the fourth. You know, he was all over the place. He was really, really bothering Dame. And that's not an easy thing to do. We saw what he did against Jalen a couple of days ago in New York. Like, that's just, he's learning how to actually leverage his length, learning how to space against on-ball guys. He's not getting blown by anywhere near as much because he does have some quickness deficiencies, obviously. But he's so long and he's smart enough to use his length well that he's really having an impact.
I was going to say, it was the Knicks game is obviously the one that jumps out when he hounded Brunson. But the thing that's been by far most noticeable is he's not getting blown by at point of attack the way he was. He's just so much more decisive defensively is like the big thing. He looks more like a young Klay Thompson. I'm not saying he's nearly as good as prime Klay on ball, but like Klay, not the quickest player. But he's not slow by any means, but Klay knew exactly how to defend guys. Like he didn't get like stuck jumping at fakes and like stuck in no man's land where he doesn't know if he wants to press up on someone or kind of drop off, that sort of thing. I always felt like Klay was just underrated smart defender on ball. And Moses, up till this recent stretch, I always felt like he didn't know what he wanted to do when he was guarding someone. Like, do I want to press up on them or do I want to do this? And that put him in that like middle ground where his lack of quickness really gets exposed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing is just understanding who you're going against, understanding personnel. And then obviously coming from, he's like we've said, he's not the quickest of foot, but you need to learn how to manage your distance against the type of players that you're playing. Like, there's some guys you're just going to have to give a bigger gap to, and he can just use his length because his arms are so long. And there's other guys where you can crawl up in him in a little bit more and really, really force him into some bad decisions. And he was actually able to do that tonight against Dame, because Dame has definitely lost some quickness from his peak. He's still very good, but I was legitimately impressed by how much he bothered Dame tonight. I wasn't expecting that. Jalen didn't surprise me that much because Jalen's not super, super quick.
Right,
he's more of a strength and craft guy. And Moses has never really struggled with those types. But quickness guys have given him some issues, obviously. And he had Dame flummoxed. So super impressive. And they will need him in the playoffs, just like they're going to need Wiggins in the playoffs. So you want to have both guys available and ready so you can toggle between really the two of them. And then obviously JK and the rest of your wings, depending on matchup, depending on who's playing well. And you're just able to mix and match and keep some length and some athleticism on the floor.
Yeah. And then to your point on Wiggins, first game back, I don't know if it was anything more than he was whatever and Moses was good and Steve just went with the hot hand, which I think is all we've really wanted all year. Like, it's not a top heavy roster. It's like a very like evenly split roster. So play who's playing well, right? Like, you don't need as much seniority on this roster outside of Steph and Draymond. Everyone else should be kind of subject to who's going that night.
Yeah.
Moses.
Yeah, the roster they have, it's really, you have Steph, who's an AA-plus player, however you want to define it. Draymond's like a B-plus player, and some nights he can get to like kind of that A-minus level. It looks different than any other guy on that level, but he can still be that guy. And every other guy on the roster is like kind of a B through a C-minus, and there's really not anybody worse than that, but there's none of them have a ceiling above kind of a B. So you just, like you said, you have to mix and match depending on who's playing well. And that's tough. Yeah, that's not easy. You have to manage a lot of egos and you really have to have a good feel for who's playing well. But yeah, I mean, it's become a fun roster, funny enough, because this was not a fun team a month and a half ago. But now most games besides Sunday, I really do enjoy watching these guys, which is not something I've been able to say since the 2022 finals ended. Yeah.
I look forward to games. Around Christmas, I was not looking forward to games. I was drinking a little too much. It was a problem. No,
I stopped watching for a couple of weeks. Full disclosure, like I literally just stopped watching the team because it wasn't fun.
Yeah. Tashaun, appreciate you. Keep moving. What's the guy here? Let's get BJ up here. What's up, BJ? Yeah.
BJ, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? I have one take and one spicy question for you guys. So my take,
I love it.
my take, I was thinking about this for a while and then I saw Bob Meyer, so I was like, all right, let me just bring it up. I think Mike, our GM, has done a good job so far, right? Drafting the two rookies, even the Jordan Poole for Chris Paul trade is a win so far. But I think next year, we will see how good of a GM he really is. He has what, around 47, 48 million expiring /
optionality.
Not guaranteed.
Hashtag optionality.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the expectation, I mean, if you just look at the economics, you know, this team should be at least aiming for Western Conference Finals. To be frank, the top seven paid players are not meeting expectations, including Curry. The first half, including Curry.
You're starting to lose me now. But
I mean, he's getting paid 50 plus million, and he didn't even make the All-Star starters team.
He's worth every penny and more. We're not gonna go there tonight.
Yeah. So yeah,
did a casual three quarter 30 tonight.
So definitely, I would say, yeah, this offseason is a big one for him.
I agree. One thing I'll say on Steph, just because I want to touch on this. Tonight was his 58th game. He's missed three games all season. He's on pace to play. I'm assuming he's going to miss a couple of games before the end of the year. He's going to play 77 games at age 36.
When was the last time he did that?
Without a second option. Name another team who has a player of superstar caliber who doesn't have someone they can rely on. And that's where you end up with Steph having games like Boston where he's just like, yes, he has no legs. He's dead. I will not say that Steph is holding it up. But I do agree with BJ's overall point, which is, you know, underperformance from higher paid guys. Clay is clearly not a $40 million player anymore, and he will not be one next year. Wiggins also has not contributed at a $25 to $30 million level for whatever reason since the 22 finals. So, you know, they're going to have some opportunities to reshape the roster. I like the take because I'm curious your thoughts, Tommy, but I feel like Mike has proven to be a better evaluator of talent, which shows in the draft, just like better eye for like what's going to translate to the Warriors and what's not, generally knows basketball better in that capacity. But is he going to be able to maneuver and make trades and get around all the cap gymnastics to get that impact player that the Warriors need? Because I think everyone watching this team would agree they're one impact player away from being right there with anyone, but it has to be the right impact player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, right? Mm-hmm. And it's some of it comes down to, look, we've heard Lacob's comments over the past month or so. They want to duck the tax, at the very least the second apron, and they mm-hmm. maybe want to get out of the tax altogether. So Mike is going to have to get very creative. You can't say unquestionably, but in my mind, unquestionably, I think he has a better eye for talent than Bob did, just in terms of pure basketball. And you know, Mike is kind of a hated character in Warriors lore for a lot of reasons. But one thing about him is he grew up in the NBA. You know, people mm-hmm. might not know that, especially younger fans. His dad was a long, long time NBA coach. He's been around this stuff for his entire life. So I think he definitely has the basketball sense to make the right moves. Will he be allowed to? Well, if he presents something and it doesn't financially make sense and you're going to have to extend a guy 3 or 4 years, it's going to take you into the tax still. I don't know if that'll get the green light. It probably won't unless it's for LeBron or Giannis or Paul George or one of those names. So that's where it gets kind of funky. And like I think like our last caller said, BJ, about $48 million to play with. And really what you could make that is you can add another 25 or so million onto that if you want to because of Wiggins deal if you're looking to move that this summer. So sure. there are a lot of things you can do. There are a lot of directions you can go. It's about how aggressive they want to be. And if they think it makes sense. And also, you know, another part of this is like, okay, go out and get that impact guy. And BJ says, you know, they'd be a conference finals team at worst. That's depending on Steph and Draymond not falling off. And, you know, I don't think they will because they really aren't relying on much physically anymore. They have, in terms of where they were at their peak, they really don't have much of that athleticism anymore at all. So they're getting by on guile and smarts at this point, but at some point it will happen. So all of it has to line up.
Relax.
Still. Like, we're not doing that right now. All I'm saying is you're really trying to thread a very, very fine. You're threading the needle here, and they've been trying to do that for years, but you better hope that next year Steph is still a top five guy, you know, and I think he still can be. I think he's got 2 or 3 years more left at this level from the way he looks right now. But there's no guarantees with any of that. So it feels like we kind of wasted another year, but maybe we'll get lucky in the playoffs and some crazy stuff will happen. They find themselves in a conference finals.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. BJ, I cut all you right. off. You had another spicy question. Let's hear it.
Yeah, that was my spicy take. Now my spicy question. So Steve Kerr, love him, but you know, he makes some questionable lineup decisions, like playing Curry, Pod, and Paul at the same time. So my spicy question, which coach is more or overhyped, Steve Kerr or Kyle Shanahan? Peace.
The question is which one's more overhyped? I just want to make sure I'm responding to the correct adjective.
Yeah, overhyped. Yeah, or overvalued. Overhyped, because either or. Because I feel like Shanahan doesn't get enough of the blame. I feel like it gets pointed towards, or, you know, it's Jimmy G's fault, or, you know, the defensive coordinator got fired, so maybe they blame, you know, Super Bowl loss on him.
I'll just point to, I am old enough to remember the roster he inherited and the roster they built. So I always take it easy on Kyle because the Niners have been a joke under pretty much every other coach in the York era, other than the three Harbaugh years. So I don't know. I feel like they're working with different hands given to them. Steve took over a team that was ready made, and to his credit, not only did he implement a system that the rest of the league started copying, which is the ultimate compliment, he was able to get them to win titles. He was able to land the ship metaphorically, which easier said than done. So I don't know which one's more overhyped, honestly. I think they're both really good coaches. I have my qualms with both of them. But
I think, you know, I think I've criticized Kerr at times this year, just because I think a lot of lineup choices, and look, he's not dealing with a perfect hand here. You know, you don't have a lot of bigger guys who are actually good at basketball on the roster, and that matters. So a lot of times he just opts for smaller players because he trusts them more, because Center he just pods. Thinks they're better. Yeah, exactly. So like, look, I wasn't happy when middle of the third quarter running out Steph, GP, and CP against the lineup with Brooke and Giannis. Like, I'm yelling at my TV as that's happening. But at the same time, it's kind of the hand he's dealt, right? I think people tend to kind of over-index on coaching issues when there's a lot of other stuff that's really the problem. And look, I'm full disclosure, I'm a Rams fan. I think Shanny's a tremendous coach. I think anything, if the Niners even consider firing that guy, it'd be ridiculous.
Don't worry.
I know that. But every time I scroll Niners Twitter, I see people calling for his head. Is he perfect? Of course not. Could he be better with game management, clock management, all that type of stuff? Sure. But He's one of the five best coaches in the league. And it's like, it's the same thing with Kerr, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to fire him. Who are you bringing in?
Spoelstra. Let's get him.
Can you get Spoelstra? Right. I mean, if you fire Shanny, who are you bringing in? Can you get Andy Reid? Like, good luck.
Can you get Mahomes with him? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like you're crying over stuff that's just not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that's interesting with the two of them is less so Kerr, just because Steph exists, but more so than most NBA coaches, they're like the faces of the franchise in a lot of ways. And that's less the case with other teams. Like Andy Reid is obviously a Hall of Fame coach, but like the face of the franchise, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much people are screaming about Andy Reid when they lose. It's usually about how wide receivers or X, Y, and Z failed Mahomes, right? Yeah. With the Niners, I don't think any of their stars are actually anywhere near as like name recognized as Kyle Shanahan. So while he gets all the credit when they're good, he'll also get all the blame when things go poorly, you know? So,
I mean, at the end of the day,
kind of,
he's made a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan and a second year quarterback who was the last pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing it with the guys that typically win Super Bowls. You know, could they have done a couple things differently to maybe win one of those Super Bowls? Sure, of course. But if you're especially in the NFL, if you're getting there that often, that doesn't really happen. You know, it's tough to get there that often unless you have a Brady or a Mahomes or that type of guy. So you got to keep giving yourself cracks at the apple, I guess, to mix the metaphors.
Yeah. I think also just the reality of the closer you get, the more it hurts, the more you're looking for someone to hang all the time. So
absolutely,
that's life. We got Will up here. Where'd Will go? Oh, I lost Will Decker. Okay. Tommy versus Ball Don't Stop 101. Let's go. Hey.
Time and place. I'm there.
Yo, what's good, guys? How we doing?
Good. What's good up, little boy? Wednesday night. What's up, man?
Good little Wednesday night. I was down far in the queue, so I had comments about Dunleavy, but pretty much everyone took them. I guess what I'm going to run with tonight, and I know it wasn't like the craziest game he's ever had, but I have no idea how he does it, man. Draymond Green has won back my trust so many freaking times. It is unbelievable. Like, think about all the stuff he has done, man. And the joke I always say to like non-Warriors fans are like, why do you mess with this guy? It's like, this guy's a habitual line stepper, and this is dating me back from the Chappelle Show skit. Like, this is what he would do, man. let's think about it. Like, he cost us 2016 finals by getting suspended. He cost us any chance of getting KD back. He ruined the title defense last year. The spinning back fist, like, I couldn't even defend that for my life. Like, that was one of the most insane things ever. And yet, I'm sitting here. He's chirping at Bobby Portis in the fourth quarter. I'm like, get his ass, Draymond. Get his ass. Let's go. Like, Draymond Green, like, I don't know. It would take him, like, committing some serious heinous crimes for me to, like, not, like, give up on him completely. Like, the amount of times I bought back in on Draymond is just absurd. So, I'm just thrilled with having this guy on our team. As long as he's playing like this, I mean, he's hitting his threes this year. I mean, 2 of 4 tonight. Know, right. It's been nice.
44% or something.
Insane. Like, what? Found the youth.
That's one of those stats, and I'm a baseball fan. It's like when Brady Anderson hit like 57 home runs in a season. You're just like, how steroids. Did that even happen? Yeah, yeah. Luis Gonzalez hit like 57 or something. Draymond hitting 44%. Like, that is one of the greatest achievements I've ever seen as a fan of basketball, knowing his backpack form and everything he brings. So just fired up. I love that dude. The Kerr slander, I mean, dude, I was a pre-Steph Warriors fan. Come on, guys. Like, you're going to look back in 20 years and be like, we had one of the greatest runs ever. Like, yeah, he's not perfect, like, for sure. But, like, guys, come on. Like, you're spoiled with this Steph era expecting a title every year. Like, I was there with Mike Montgomery just hating life. So, like, dude, Steve Kerr, like, listen, not perfect.
Montgomery, to be honest with you. So.
Not perfect, but, like, dude, like, give the man a break. 4 rings. He's made Steph into the player. I mean, Steph was always great, but, like, he elevated Steph in a lot of ways by empowering him with this system. I can't get behind it, man. But All love to Draymond, all love to everything else.
First off, best call of the night, Will. Appreciate it. I have two thoughts on two different things you said. One, the thing that I really enjoy is it seems like over the last year, they are incredibly bought in on Kerr and making an effort to acquire players who fit the system that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr want to run. Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis are perfect examples. They did not draft rookies, raw rookies who had no clue how to play a read and react style of basketball. They drafted guys who could play that style of basketball. And I think both of them have exceeded our wildest expectations, but it's clear when they were picked, the fit aspect of scouting them at least crossed people's minds, which is an upgrade from the decade of prior picks to them. And then the second thing I want to touch on is Draymond. I always say this, he'll get himself suspended. You'll get really mad at him. And then you'll watch the Warriors play five games without him. And then he'll come back. And then you'll be like, I think he's like the eighth best player in the NBA. I don't care what the stats say.
I know.
It's the ultimate eye test. You're like, I don't care the average is 7.8 points per game or whatever the fuck it is. You know, I don't care any of that. I know when I watch this team with him, they can play with anyone. And when he's not out there, they're like the eighth worst team in the NBA total.
Yeah. Oh, it's night and day. Like what he means to this team in terms of toughness, in terms of like everything he brings to the floor. And like, I'll say it, like people go crazy when I say this, like, because his emotions always get in the way and he always does like dumb things because of his emotions. In terms of processing the NBA game, find me five players smarter like than that, what that guy can do when he's in transition on the run or like his defensive setups. Like he is amazing, bro. Like I don't know how he does it. Like I'm just shocked, man. He wins me back every time. Like it is unbelievable. I love Draymond for life, man. I'll be there at the statue when they unveil it, whatever that might be. We got to find some statue pictures for Draymond coming soon. Those will be fun.
Just get him yelling at a ref. Just get him yelling.
I want his game to hold up until his entire beard is white. Because that'll just like the visual of him with like a full gray beard pushing the pace against young guys yelling. And I need it. I need like a half season of that.
Dude, give me all that. But big win. We're back on track. I mean, Sunday, you know, when you're 15 of 22 from three, there's just nothing you can do. So just pull the starters. But I'm happy, man. I'm happy. That was a big bounce back win. That shows me they give a shit. That was big. That was a big time win. Thanks, y'all.
Appreciate you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
I think we'll get out on that one. Tommy, I really appreciate you hopping on.
Of course,
man. Good night. We'll be back tomorrow night, everyone. Have a good evening, guys.